That was supposed to make you blush, not cry, he said, after we stopped. Sorry, I said, and tried to get myself back together. I've just really missed it. That. Us. It's my fault, Enzo started. I put a hand up to his lips. I don't care about any of that, I said. I really don't, Enzo. None of that matters to me. I just don't want to miss you anymore. Zoe, Enzo said. He took my hands. You saved me. You have me. You own me. I belong to you. You said it yourself. I did, I admitted. So that's settled, Enzo said. Okay, I said, and smiled. We kissed some more in the night, outside Enzo's front gate. 18. The conversation Hickory was having with Dad about the Conclave and the Colonial Union was really interesting, right up until the point where Hickory said it and Dickory were planning to kill my parents. Then, well, I sort of lost it. To be fair, it had been a really long day. I had said goodnight to Enzo, dragged my butt home, and could barely think straight enough to hide the stone knife in my dresser and fend off Babar's lick attack on my face before I collapsed onto my cot and passed out without even bothering to get all the way undressed. At some point after I laid down, Jane came home from the medical bay, kissed me on the forehead, and slipped off my boots. But I barely remember that, other than murmuring something to her about how happy I was she was better. At least, that's what I was saying inside my head. I don't know if my mouth formed the actual words. I think it did. I was very tired at the time. Not too much after that, though, Dad came in and gently nudged me awake. Come on, hon, he said. I need you to do something for me.
I'll do it in the morning, I mumbled. I swear.
No, sweetheart, he said. I need you to do it now. The tone of his voice, gentle but insistent, told me he really did need me to get up. I did, but with enough grumbling to maintain my honor. We went to the living room of our bungalow. Dad steered me to the couch, which I sat on and tried to maintain a semi-conscious state that would allow me to go back to sleep when we were done with whatever it was we were doing. Dad sat down at his desk. Mom stood next to him. I smiled sleepily at her, but she seemed not to notice. Between me and my parents were Hickory and Dickory. Dad spoke to Hickory. Can you two lie? He asked it.
We have not yet lied to you, Hickory said,
which even in my sleepy state I recognized as not being an actual answer to the question that was asked. Dad and Hickory bantered back and forth a little about what being able to lie brings to a conversation. In my opinion, mostly the ability to not have to argue about stupid things it's just better to lie about, but no one asked me. And then Dad asked me to tell Hickory and Dickory to answer all his questions without any lies or evasions. This finally woke me all the way up. Why? I asked. What's going on?
Please do it, Dad said.
All right, I said, and then turned to Hickory. Hickory, please answer my dad without lying to him or evading his questions, all right?
As you wish, Zoe, Hickory said.
Dickory too, I said.
We will both answer truthfully, Hickory said.
Thank you, Dad said, and then turned back to me.
You can go back to bed now, sweetie.
This annoyed me. I was a human being, not a truth serum. I want to know what's going on, I said.
It's not something you need to worry about, Dad said.
You order me to have these two tell you the truth, and you want me to believe it's not something I need to worry about? I asked. The sleep toxins were taking their time leaving my system, because even as I was saying this, I realized it came out showing a little more attitude to my parents than was entirely warranted at the moment. As if to confirm this, Jane straightened herself up a bit.
Zoe, she said.
I recalibrated. Besides, if I leave, there's no guarantee they won't lie to you, I said, trying to sound a bit more reasonable. They're emotionally equipped to lie to you because they don't care about disappointing you, but they don't want to disappoint me. I don't know if this was actually true or not, but I was guessing it was. Dad turned to Hickory. Is this true?
We would lie to you if we felt it was necessary, Hickory said. We would not lie to Zoe.
There was a really interesting question here of whether Hickory was saying this because it was actually true, or whether it was saying it in order to back me up on what I said, and if the latter, what the actual truth value of the statement was. If I were more awake, I think I would have thought about it more at the time. But as it was, I just nodded and said, "There you go," to my dad.
"Breathe a word of this to anyone, and you're spending the next year in the horse stall," Dad said.
"My lips are sealed," I said, and almost made a lip-locking motion, but thought better of it at the last second. And a good thing, too, because suddenly Jane came up and loomed over me, bearing her "I am as serious as death" expression.
"No," she said. "I need you to understand that what you're hearing here you absolutely cannot share with anyone else, not Gretchen, not any of your other friends, not anyone. It's not a game, and it's not a fun secret. This is dead serious business, Zoe. If you're not ready to accept that, you need to leave this room right now. I'll take my chances with Hickory and Dickory lying to us, but not you. So do you understand that when we tell you not to share this with anyone, that you cannot share it with anyone else, yes or no?"
Several thoughts entered my mind at that moment. The first is that it was times like this when I had the smallest inkling of how terrifying Jane must have been as a soldier. She was the best mom a girl could ever have, make no mistake about it, but when she got like this, she was as hard and cold and direct as any person could be. She was, to use a word, intimidating, and this was just with words. I tried to imagine her stalking across a battlefield with the same expression on her face she had now, and standard-issue Defense Forces rifle. I think I actually felt at least three of my internal organs contract at the thought. The second is I wondered what she would think of my ability to keep a secret if she had known what I had just done with my evening. The third was maybe she did, and that was what this was about. I felt several other of my internal organs contract at that thought. Jane was still looking at me, cold, like stone, waiting for my answer. "Yes," I said. "I understand, Jane. Not a word."
"Thank you, Zoe," Jane said.
Then she bent down and kissed the top of my head. Just like that, she was my mom again, which in its way made her even more terrifying, if you ask me. That settled, Dad started asking Hickory about the Conclave and what it and Dickory knew about that group. Since we had made the jump to Roanoke, we had been waiting for the Conclave to find us, and when they found us, to destroy us, like they had destroyed the Wade colony in the video the Colonial Union had given us. Dad wanted to know if what Hickory knew about the Conclave was different than what we knew. Hickory said yes, basically. They knew quite a bit about the Conclave, based on the Oban government's own files on them, and that their own files, contrary to what we had been told by the Colonial Union, showed that when it came to colonies, the Conclave much preferred to evacuate the colonies they confronted, rather than destroying them. Dad asked Hickory why, if they had different information, they had not shared it earlier. Hickory said because they had been ordered not to by their government. Neither Hickory nor Dickory would have lied about having the information if Dad had asked them, but he had never asked them about it before. I think this struck Dad as a bit weaselly on the part of Hickory and Dickory, but he let it go.